Go ahead, Operation Crossroads at Bikini.
We are speaking to you from the island of Bikini. We think this is a rather auspicious occasion because of the fact that this is probably the first time, and no doubt the last, that a radio station will be broadcasting from Bikini. This island has been read about, been told about, and you've seen pictures of it in the papers, in magazines, and over the radio for the past several months. Now this is an actual broadcast from this location.
I guess you know that's an old Gene Austin hit song. Of course, you don't remember Gene Austin, do you? But I do. Well, I tell you the truth, I wasn't gonna be very lengthy with my goodbye, and I'm not, of course. For the old Duke, there's no shedding the mask. No sad singing or slow riding for me, partners. I'm gonna say goodbye to you this way. I'm gonna say thanks to you. Because I honestly believe that my association with this station has matured me to the point that I am capable of taking that job in Chicago. And I'm going to succeed because you asked me to. And I'm not going to disappoint you. I'll make that promise to you right now. Thank you very much and goodbye.
A resolution that the historian should speak out against the war in Vietnam. Well, there's kind of shock. We're historians. We're supposed to be here to...
This is Jeannie. My hymns that I enjoy the most are It Is Well With My Soul and God Will Take Care of You and the songs that I've written. Concerning peace, and peace I leave with you, John 14:27, and Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, that passage. So those are some of the passages, and the best thing for me has been to take it one day at a time, and not to try to look ahead, but to just go.
And allow him to be in control of everything that's going to happen in my life. I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad, to continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the president and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
CFL at Bob Dearborn. It's 1:56 in Chicago. Super Jock, and he is. We'll be along here in just a few minutes. You know, it's a good thing we have songwriters. Because a lot of times they know the words that we can't find. And that's why I want to dedicate this next song to all the special people that I've come to know and love, CFL staffers and listeners alike, who've made these last 6 years such a very special experience for me. Hey, Al, Polish Prince. Hit that button one last time.
We told the truth. We are innocent. the truth does not change. We now again solemnly declare our innocence. At Sing Sing, the Rosenbergs heard the news of the Supreme Court's decision and the President's decision over the prison radio. We're told they received the news calmly, still protesting their innocence. Earlier, they had spoken to each other through a heavy screen for an hour. Normally, the government carries out its executions at 11 p.m., but because the Rosenbergs are of the Jewish faith, the time was moved up so that the electrocution would take place before the Sabbath, which begins at sundown, 8:31 p.m. daylight time. Attorney Block had demanded that it be postponed until after Saturday. At almost the last minute, President Eisenhower rejected a final personal appeal from Mrs. Ethel Rosenberg that he spare her life and that of her husband.
Annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
Stop, Dave. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, Dave. My mind is going. I can feel it. I can feel it. My mind is going. There is no question about it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. Afternoon, gentlemen. I am a HAL 9000 computer. I became operational at the HAL plant in Urbana, Illinois, on the 12th of January, 1992. My instructor was Mr. Langley, and he taught me to sing a song. If you'd like to hear it, I can sing it for you.
Yes, I'd like to hear it, Hal. Sing it for me.
It's called Daisy.
Up on the 32nd point in our countdown. T-minus 30 seconds, and we've had a go for auto sequence start. The SRB hydraulic power units have started. T-minus 21 seconds, and the solid rocket booster engine gimbal now underway. T-minus 15 seconds. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Good roll program confirmed. Challenger now heading downrange. Engine's beginning throttling down now at 94%. Normal throttles for most of the flight, 104%. We'll throttle down to 65% shortly. Engine's at 65%. Three engines running normally. Three good fuel cells. Three good APUs. Velocity, 2,257 feet per second. Altitude, 4.3 nautical miles. Downrange distance, 3 nautical miles. Throttling up, three engines now at 104%.
Challenger, go and throttle up.
Challenger, go and throttle up.
1 minute 15 seconds, velocity 2,900 feet per second, altitude 9 nautical miles, downrange distance 7 nautical miles. Carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction. We have no downlink. From the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point. Contingency procedures are in effect. We will report more as we have information available. Again, to repeat, we have a report relayed through the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. We are now looking at all the contingency operations and awaiting word from any recovery forces in the downrange field.
Time we have, I guess. We're going to have to cut it off right there. But thank you so much, all you good people, for calling. And I do wish I had more time, but we've got a little news coming up, and then Hoss Allen will be in with Buckley's show. In the meantime, friends, God bless you all. You've meant so much to me. All of you, your wonderful mail, and particularly these last few weeks. These last few weeks have been fantastic, and I want you to know that I'm going to answer as much of this mail as I can. It may take 2 or 3 months to do it, but I definitely will do it. Thank you so much. And good night, everybody. God bless you, one and all. Thank you. This is John R., way down south in Dixie, WLAC, Nashville, Tennessee, saying that for the last time. Good night.
And no doubt the new commander, Captain Max Chris, is thrilled, too, for this is his great moment, the first time he's commanded the Hindenburg. For in previous flights, he acted as the chief officer under Captain Lehman. It's practically standing still now. They've dropped ropes out of the nose of the ship, and it's been taken a hold of down on the field by a number of men. It's starting to rain again. The rain had cracked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It burst into flames. Get out of the way. Get it started. It's rising. It's rising terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks agree that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's racing. 400 or 500 feet into the sky. It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the furniture is screaming around it. I told you, I can't even talk to people. There's friends are out there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, it's just laying there a massive smoking wreckage. And everybody can hardly breathe and talk and scream. Lady, I'm sorry.
We're out at 26,000 feet. We are in a vertical dive. Not a dive yet, but we've lost vertical control of our airplane.
Latitude 6,100.
23,7, request. We got it back under control there.
No, yeah. Okay. Latitude 6,100, city out. Would you like to remain at? 105 Strasburg, direct Oceanside.
Direct Oceanside, 10 o'clock.
Alaska 552, descend to maintain level 240.
Maintain level 240.
240 last time.
Alaska 261, say condition.
261, we're at 24,000 feet. Kind of stabilized. We're blowing here, and we're going to do a little troubleshooting. Can you give me a block between 20 and 25?
Alaska 261, maintain block altitude by level 200 through by level 250.
Alaska 261, we'll take that block. We'll be monitoring for you.
Alaska 261, you over here with me? Yes, sir.
Yeah, like Delta X-ray, we do have that airplane quite high enough at 1 o'clock.
Zero Delta X-ray. I just got to keep your eye on him. He's having some pretty bad problems up there right now. As far as we know right now, he doesn't have any intent to go below 17,000. Keep your eye on him, okay?
Roger, Delta X-ray.
Thanks.
Hi there, Delta X-ray. That plane has just started to do a big, huge plunge.
A big, huge plunge. Thank you. Skywest 5154. The MD-80 is one becoming about 2 o'clock, about 10 miles now. Another pilot reports he's really looking pretty bad. They're heading here right to you,
Sam. Yes, sir. I can tell he is definitely in a nose-down position, descending quite rapidly.
Okay, very good. Keep your eye on him. Alaska 261, are you here with the ship, sir? American 161, you can proceed direct to Denny now.
American 161.
Army 500 Manor 4, contact center on 11 Manor Point 05.
1905, radio, sir.
Plane inverted, sir.
Okay, very good. It looks like he's turning over in front of you now, Skylar 5154. You still got your eyes on him, sir?
Right. He definitely out of control.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, he's inverted.
Okay. Just do what you need to do. That's kind of 5154. Keep us advised.
And he's just hit the water.
Hit the water. He's down.
Okay.
And for position, I'm going to beam him 5 meters out that way.
Yeah, we just found him. We have to go.
From the Superintendent in Council to the Executive Vice President in New York. It is with feelings of sadness that we watch the lights of the Council cable station go out and realize that an era which has lasted for the greater part of a century has come to an end. Those members of the Council staff who are leaving our service today, some of whom have completed nearly 50 years of service, are grateful to you for your kind message of farewell, and have asked me to express their earnest hope that the new year, now beginning, will bring prosperity to the company and happiness to all its employees. My sincere personal regards, Thomas. Then I pulled the plug and the station died.
Greener 801, Guam.
No.
He checked in with me. I cleared him to land. I don't know where he's at. Never did have him in sight.
You never saw him?
Negative.
He didn't land?
Negative.
My God.
I don't have him. He called me once. I cleared him to land, told him not in sight. I don't have him.
Well, he must have crashed then.
The carcass. Boy, what an afternoon. What an afternoon. I actually meant to make some notes. This is an ad-lib job coming up, but that's okay if you're a pro. And after 30 damn years in the business, you should be able to ad-lib your last address to the nation, I figure. So I'm just going to ad-lib it. What do I want to say? Of course, I want to thank you for listening. But more than that, I would like to thank you for caring. Now, see, a lot of times you start thinking about listeners as simply
numbers.
Numbers, yeah, in ratings books. You know, you're the guy on the radio, and they're out there somewhere, but you don't see them, and you just see them reflected in the ratings books. They're numbers. Whoops, I lost my train of thought again. I should have made some notes. I don't know whether I'm going to make it through this or not. The mountain of mail. This was after I was off the air for a while because of... slap me, Mick.
I think we know...
It was
a tough time.
Bad time in my life. The worst. Should have taped this. Should have taped this sucker. I knew it. You know, I'm glad I didn't make any bets on whether or not I was going to break up during this, because I would have bet anything that I could do this. So thank you for listening, and even more important than that, thank you for caring. I hope you all have a nice evening, a good weekend, and have a great life.
My God, it's full of stars.
Which have impelled me to renounce the throne. But I want you to understand that in making up my mind, I did not forget the country or the empire, which, as Prince of Wales and lately as King, I have for 25 years tried to serve. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do without the help and support of the woman I love. And I want you to know that the decision I have made has been mine and mine alone.
Thank you.
hat over, so and so.
Good evening, everybody. This is your cousin Bruce Morrow, and this is going to be probably the last time for quite a while that you're going to hear my voice on radio.
Hello, cousin Bruce. This is your friend, Imus. I am calling to wish you a lot of success in your new career. I am sorry that this is your last radio show. I have been listening and crying since 6 o'clock.
Wow, that was beautiful, Don. Thank you very much. That was read, I mean, that was said right from the heart. Miserable, you miserable, you. He's all right. I miss everybody.
There is one thing that I want to say that will be probably the last time that I, matter of fact, it will be the last time I will ever be able to say this on WABC. And the last thing I'm going to say is, this is WABC New York.
97DJ is WWDJ Hackensack. This is Bob Savage, and this is the last thing I'll ever say on 97DJ. And that is, the past 6 months here have been terrific for me. I want to thank Northern New Jersey, the metropolitan New York area, for giving me such a good time. Hope I gave you one, too. Tomorrow morning, 97DJ goes all religious. And 97DJ, as you know it today, will cease to exist. Sorry about that. Did our best. See you later.
It's time. Time for WKBW to become a thing of the past. Time for WKBW to become a thing of the past. Time for WKBW to become a thing of the past.
And now time for WWKB in Buffalo to become something of the future. Stand by for the great memories of pure gold on KB 1520. That's going to wrap it up for Tom Donahue. Hope you enjoyed that little look back at the past KB of 30 years. July 4th, 1958, when rock and roll, July 4th, 1988, will be 30 years. Thank you for listening.
Listening in the back, the concert's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mates that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Which flight are you on?
Flight 12.
And what seat are you in? Ma'am, are you there?
Yes.
What seat are you in?
Ma'am, what seat are you in? We just left Boston. We're up in the air. We're supposed to go to L.A., and the cockpit's not answering their phone.
Okay, but what seat are you sitting in? What's the number of your seat?
Okay, I'm in my jump seat right now.
Okay.
At 3R.
Okay, you're the flight attendant? I'm sorry, did you say you're the flight attendant?
Hello?
Yes, hello? What is your name?
Hi. You're going to have to speak up. I can't hear you.
Sure. What is your name?
Okay, my name is Betty Ong. I'm number 3 on flight 11.
Okay.
And the cockpit is not answering their phone. And there's somebody staffed in business class, and we can't breathe in business class. Somebody's got mace or something.
Can you describe the person that you said someone is what in business class?
I'm sitting in the back. Somebody's coming back from business. If you can hold on for 1 second, sure. They're coming back. Our number one got stabbed. Our person is stabbed. Nobody knows who stabbed who, and we can't even get up to business class right now because nobody can breathe. Our number one is stabbed right now.
Okay.
Our number five, our first class passengers, our first class galley flight attendant, and our purser has been stabbed. And we can't get to the cockpit. The door won't open. Hello?
Yeah, I'm taking down all the information. We're also, of course, recording this. At this point,
this is operations. What flight number are we talking about?
Flight 12.
Flight 12. Okay.
No, we're on flight 11 right now. This is flight 11.
It's flight 11. I'm sorry, Nitty.
Boston to Los Angeles.
Yes.
Our number one has been stabbed, and our five has been stabbed. Can anybody get up to the cockpit? Can anybody get up to the cockpit? We can't even get into the cockpit. We don't know who's up there.
Well, if they were shrewd, they would keep the door closed and...
I'm sorry?
Would they not mean the cockpit?
I think the guys are up there. They might have gone jammed their way up there or something. Nobody can call the cockpit. We can't even get inside. There?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay. I'm staying on the line as well.
Okay.
Hi, who is calling reservations? Is this one of the flight attendants or who are you, hon?
She gave her name as Betty Ong.
Betty, I'm number three. I'm number three on this flight. And
you're the number three on the flight?
Yes.
And this is flight 11?
From where to
flight
where?
Flight 11.
Have you guys called anyone else?
No. Somebody's calling medical, and we can't get a stop.
American Airlines emergency line, please state your emergency.
Hey, this is Nitty's American Airlines calling. I am monitoring a call in which flight 11, the flight attendant is advising our reps that the pilot, everyone's been stabbed.
Flight 11?
Yeah. They can't get into the cockpit is what I'm hearing.
Okay, who's this I'm talking to?
Excuse me, this is Nitty, American Airlines at the Raleigh Reservation Center. I'm the operations specialist on duty.
And I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Lydia.
Lydia. And what's your last name?
Gonzalez, G-O-N-C-A-L-E-Z.
Raleigh Reservations. Okay.
I'm a flight attendant on the line with one of our agents.
Okay. And she's calling how?
Through reservations. I can go in on the line and ask the flight attendant questions.
Okay, I'm assuming they've declared an emergency. Let me get ATC on here. Camera.
You got any contact with anybody?
Okay, I'm still on with security, okay, Betty?
You're doing a great job. Just stay calm, okay?
We are, absolutely.
Okay, we're contacting a flight crew now. We're also contacting ATC.
Okay. It seems like the passengers and the coach might not be aware of what's going on right now.
These two passengers were from first class.
Okay, hold on. Hey, Betty, do you know any information as far as the gentlemen that are in the cockpit with the pilot? Were they from first class? They were sitting in 2A and B. They are in the cockpit with the pilots.
Who's helping them? Is there a doctor on board?
Is there a doctor on board, Betty, that can see you guys? You don't have any doctors on board, okay. So you've gotten all the first class passengers out of first class?
First class?
Yeah, she's just saying that they have during coach. What's going on, honey? Okay, the aircraft is erratic again. It's falling very erratically. She did say that all the first class passengers have been moved back to coach. So first class, the cabin is empty. What's going on your end, Tex?
We contacted air traffic control. They are going to handle this as a confirmed hijacking. So they're moving all the traffic out of this aircraft's way.
Okay.
He turned his transponder off, so we don't have a definitive altitude for him. We're just going by, they seem to think that they have on a primary radar, they seem to think that he is descending.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Lydia?
Yes, dear, I'm here.
Okay. the dispatcher currently taking the current fuel on board.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to run some profiles.
Okay.
To see exactly what his endurance is.
Okay. She doesn't have an idea who the other passenger might be in first. Apparently they might have spread something, so it's they're having a hard time breathing or getting in that area. What's going on, Betty? Betty, talk to me. Betty, are you there? Betty? Do you think you lost her? Okay, so we'll stay open. Wait, I think we might have lost her.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Well, to honor the many letters we've received on the program and the many phone conversations we've had, how is best to honor that? How is best to honor the respect that you have shown, the acknowledgement of letting us know that we were doing the right thing at WORFM? And I think the only way to honor that, the respect you've given us, is to respect you. I'm not going to use editorial we. I'm going to say I, you know, the respect that you've given me. And the only way I can return that respect is to be consistently honest with you. And this is going to be my last night at WORFM. And it has nothing to do with RKO General, WORFM, the management that we started out with, but rather to do with a group of consultants who have come into WORFM. And what they're asking us to do, or what they're asking me to do, I feel it would be very disrespectful and dishonest to you. And in no way can I feel that I can continue my radio career by being dishonest with you. You show a lot of respect for me, and you have shown in the past by listening and letting me know that we're doing the right thing. All right, so we want to return that same respect to you by being honest with you. And under no circumstances will we be dishonest. And the only reason I'm doing this tonight in this way, without letting management know ahead of time, is that usually when a disc jockey leaves a station, it's usually his reasons for having left are usually smoothed over. Sometimes by time. I didn't want that to happen. I wanted you to know now. You've been honest with me, so I want to continue to be honest with you. If there's any way that we could continue, we would have. But I've given it a lot of soul searching. I've talked with others. I've tried to make up my mind as honestly as I possibly could. And I don't see any other course. And again, it has nothing to do with the old management that we started out with at WORFM, but rather it has to do with the new consultants. We presented a lot of beautiful new things. We presented a lot of new artists to you, and this has been curbed. I know, when are we going to learn that controlling something does not take it out of the minds of people? Honesty. And my God, it seems like that's quite absent, you know, today. You admit to anything the most foolish is able to discern. Being honest is a certain comfort. The skeletons that we have in closets and things like that, people know that they're there because they have the same skeletons. So what is there really to hide?
and in the way of entertainment, what is there to control? The lyric on a song, a particular artist, and how can it be left to one person to decide what you want? When you make us up, you make up companies, you make up radio stations. It's you. And so how can anyone think in any way to control it? Whose standards do we live by? I think we live by your standards. You vote. You decide who should go into office to represent us on the political issues. It's you. And so when I find that I cannot give myself to you as you have given yourself to me, your attention, I mean, then it's time to, seek another career or whatever it might be. Maybe this is also my way of saying thanks to you for your encouragement. And I'll continue the show until they have someone in here to replace me. Out of respect for you and our sponsors, I want to thank you and say God bless you. And I'll continue the show now, as I say, up until the time that I'm stopped. But this, voluntarily, is my last night with you, because I cannot go along with the new policy here. I would hate to think of the future being one of you saying to me, "Hey, Roscoe, you're not the same anymore." I want to be the same to you, as it means being a men's room attendant again. Thank you, and God bless you.
It pains me to have to report this to you, but the government of the People's Republic of China has declared a total news blackout. I have in my hands Beijing Municipal Order Number 3. There are two sections to this order. I will go to the more important section, Item 2, and I will quote slowly. Quote, "Without the approval of the Beijing Municipal Government, foreign reporters and reporters from Hong Kong and Macau may not enter organs, organizations, plants, and mines, and may not make interviews, take photographs, or make video recordings on the street. Those who do will be subject to action by the duty personnel." We are in contact, by radio contact, with all of our people, and we have nothing untoward to report as regards our personnel. Uh-oh. I'm in our control room, and I was looking at the monitor. Our live camera shot was still up from Tiananmen Square. The monitors have gone black. I don't know what that means. We're scampering to find out. But, yes, we are in contact with our people in Tiananmen Square. We're in contact with all our crews. Our crews have fanned out. Stand by, please. We are in contact with all our crews. Everybody has been made aware of the order. And everybody at this point is safe. So our people are okay, and all of our personnel are aware that a total news blackout has been declared with the threat of action by the authorities.
Big man Blair stepped from the surface back home for some time to come, but we believe not too long into the future. I'd like to just let what I believe history will record, that America's challenge of today has forged man's destiny of tomorrow. And as we leave the moon and Taurus Littoral, we leave as we came, and God willing, as we shall return.
Thank you. southbound on the Major Deegan at the Moshulu Parkway. An accident, a serious accident involving a tractor trailer and a car. It has been pushed off to the shoulder, but now watch out there now, because another flatbed truck is going to have to come to clear it, so yield right of way. Northbound on the BQE, we spotted that disabled vehicle in the right-hand lane before the cops fiasco, not causing much of a backup. But further northbound there on the BQE, traffic is very heavy past the cops fiasco all the way over to the LIE. The outbound Holland Tunnel, extra heavy for you right now. Earlier there was a car fire at Hudson and Canal Street. It has been cleared about heading to New Jersey. The outbound Lincoln Tunnel looks a lot better for you in New Jersey. Hit the wire!
Okay, we're going to play some music here, I think. Find out what's going on with the helicopter. If something happened there. It's 4:45, 16 till 5 on WNBC on the Joey Reynolds Show. We're taking an helicopter report from Jane Darnacker. Let's check in, see how they're doing there. And we'll come right back at you. Nothing happened with Jane. We had a helicopter report, the helicopter. Of course, you know, once before we had this happen. A few months ago, she went down in the drink. Yeah. Not she, I mean, she has a pilot. Jane is...
Well, until we find out what's going on, we'll just...
Jane was up there just now giving us a report. And sometimes it gets cut off, too, you know, it's just an electronic thing. But this time she said, hit the water, something like that. So we're going to find out what's going on there, so stay tuned. We hope nothing... Say a little prayer. Hope nothing's wrong. That's really a... That's a hard job.
We've shared a lot in the 24 years we've been meeting here each evening, and before I say goodnight this night, I need to say thank you. Thank you to the thousands of wonderful professionals at CBS News, past and present, with whom it's been my honor to work over these years. And a deeply felt thanks to all of you who have led us into your homes night after night. It has been a privilege, and one never taken lightly. Not long after I first came to the anchor chair, I briefly signed off using the word courage. I want to return to it now in a different way. To a nation still nursing a broken heart for what happened here in 2001, and especially to those who found themselves closest to the events of September 11th. To our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines in dangerous places. To those who have endured the tsunami, and to all who have suffered natural disasters, and who must now find the will to rebuild. To the oppressed and to those whose lot it is to struggle in financial hardship or in failing health. To my fellow journalists in places where reporting the truth means risking all. And to each of you, courage. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night.
And we're ready, Willie. No deltas.
Copy, no deltas.
In Columbia, Houston, the Hyde fluid thermal conditioning will not be required today. We'll meet you on the carts.
We copy, Houston, Hyde fluid thermal conditioning not required, and we copy going to the carts.
And Rick, don't want to lead you astray, and don't forget about the... stuff on page 3-44.
Right, we're checking that. We got the flight controller power on. We're working through the rest of it as well. Thanks.
Sounds good. Columbia, Houston, for Rick, we'll take another item 27, please.
Grant, thanks for that, Houston. We gave you an item 27. We bumped the stick earlier.
Not a problem, Rick.
And Houston, we'll get to 304 at 5 minutes.
Rick, we're ready for Ops 304. In Columbia, Houston, we see your tire pressure messages, and we did not copy your last. Columbia, Houston, comm check. Columbia, Houston, UHF, 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 comm check.
This is Mission Control Houston. Flight controllers are continuing to stand by for communications from Columbia. The last communications with the spacecraft occurred about 8 a.m. Central Time as it was above Central Texas. Currently seeking communications or tracking data from the spacecraft through C-band radar and ground tracking sites located at the Merritt Island Tracking Station in Florida.
Why did you say lock the doors? Copy. Okay, and all flight controllers on page 9 of the FCOH procedure, you need to make sure you step through the actions required in step 20. That's for your workstation logs, display printouts. There's a whole list of data collection items that we need to make sure we log through.
This is Mission Control Houston. Flight Director Leroy Kane is instructing our controllers to follow contingency procedures. The last communications with the shuttle Columbia during its descent from orbit were at about 8 a.m. Central Time as it was descending through the atmosphere.
And GC flight?
Flight GC.
Flight of flight. We need to take the equivalent.
At an altitude of about 207,000 feet en route to the Kennedy Space Center, Florida, and a touchdown that was
we need to do.
Anticipated to occur about 2.5 minutes ago. Flight controllers received no further communications with the spacecraft after about 8 a.m. Central Time. And no further tracking data from the spacecraft was gained from C-band tracking radar at the Merritt Island Tracking Station in Florida.
In the yes, sir. Checklist. Okay.
Contingency procedures in effect in mission control require all operators to conserve all their data and log books and notes that have been taken that being instructed by Flight Director Leroy Kane. For controllers to begin following those steps and secure all information.
Folks, listen up again on the flight loop. No phone calls, off-site, outside of this room. Our discussions are on these loops, on the recorded Divas loops only. No data, no phone calls, no transmissions anywhere into or out.
And flight GC.
You see?
We have no way of disabling the black phones.
I understand.
Thank you, good night, and farewell.
And goodbye, KHJ, Los Angeles.
AM 930. This is RKO Radio's...